You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
In a world filled with cigars, craft beer, comics, movies, and video games,
only two men are brave enough to search out all things nerdy.
It's the Cigar Nerds Podcast!
And welcome to Cigar Nerds Podcast. I'm your host, Smokin' Joe.
I'm Brad Jackson.
And we're recording live at the cigar shop in Cumming, Georgia today. So,
yeah, it feels good to be back on the old stomping grounds, live and in person.
Yeah, a little more, yeah, higher class atmosphere tonight.
Oh, most definitely.
This is not us sitting in a shed or a basement. We're in an actual shop.
A fully decked out shed.
Yeah.
Our basement. For nerd culture and all things pop culture.
So speaking of culture, what are we smoking this week, Brad?
Well, from the COO World Series, we are smoking the CAO Zacala. I may have butchered that.
Zacala, Zacolo, whatever. Don't know. But it's
Z-O-C-A-L-O. It sports a Mexican San Andreas wrapper with a Cameroon binder. Now that's new. And a Nicaraguan filler. And I don't think we've smoked too many cigars with anything with Cameroon.
Apparently it's named after a vibrant Mexican city, Squares. That's what Zocalo's is, you know, city, downtown city squares in Mexico. Learn something new every day.
Absolutely. And, you know, I'm going to go ahead and off the bat, this thing's coming in at a good medium plus to full.
Yeah, it's definitely, you know, spicy.
I love cigars like this that, you know, support the San Andreas wrappers, and because usually you get that blast of spice, and anybody that's listened to me talk about cigars knows I like the taste of black pepper.
Yeah, you notice, like, now that we're, like, recording in, like, a public area, like, all of a sudden I'm getting, like, quiet. It's like we're turning into, like, NPR announcers with, like, hi, today on NPR.
I don't think we plugged them on our show.
Yeah, but yeah, their hosts tend to be very, very quiet and almost like whisper broadcasting. Like, yeah, we got to loosen up.
You know what I contribute it to? A lot of mumble rap.
I just
didn't make people want what you're even saying, right?
Yeah, okay.
Mumble.
So if you're going to go party in a Mexican square, bring in the Strikeforce Energy.com. Use your promo code CigarNerds for 20% off your order.
You know, that's exactly what we're missing.
It will wake you up so you don't sound like all quiet and dead like we
see that, we that started off that's today. Exactly what we're missing. We're missing the Strikeforce energy burst that we're used to having.
Yeah, I've like my supplies running low and I got like three left, so I've been you know, rationing them out until the new shipment arrives. So that may be my problem. I'm low on caffeine today. So this week's episode is kind of a random episode because, well, we had scheduled a Infinity War episode, and then we realized, oh, shit, like, this episode comes out 2 days after the movie, so we're well within the two-week spoiler. Things were like, crap, we got to come up with something
else. Yeah, we wanted to make
about.
Sure folks actually had time to see it, and I we'll talk about some thoughts without doing any kind of spoilers, maybe in news, because, I mean, you can't not talk about the most successful movie, you know, talking dollars. So,
and we'll get all sorts of spoilery on the next episode. But so, yeah, this episode is going to be kind of a tribute episode because we're going to talk about some of our favorite celebrities that have passed here in 2018 and then probably devolve into just random chaos to fill the rest of the hour. So with that, we'll be right back.
No crib on MTV. God only knows. Got my mini-me in the GP. See how it goes. Evil's all that I see. And you ask me my name? G to the Rizzo. E to the Bizzo. I to the Lizzo. I'm a crazy... You all knew that. Austin caught me in the first act. It's all backwards. What's with that? So I'll make a prophecy. From the dogs to the mini-me. Give me an Escalade, a two-way bling-bling on eBay. Domino.
And we're back with the random episode. And speaking of random, Norm just showed up.
Hey, This is the random episode. So random people will walk in.
That's what happens when you record in a cigar shop. Yeah, and we get the random walk-in guest, or people come to throw us out.
One or the other. We'll see what happens.
This may be a short episode. You guys got to leave. Who said you could be in here?
Hey, what are you doing here? Get out.
Damn kids, get off my lawn. I mean, dude, I feel like we're way too chipper for this to be a somber episode.
Nah, it's never a somber episode. It's a
celebration of life.
It's a wake. It's there a you celebration. Go. Celebration of life.
It's a celebration, bitch.
If you didn't say it, I was about to. I'm Rick James, who also died, but a long time ago.
Just want to say, what did Five Fingers say to the face?
Slap!
Man, this is turning out great. Yeah, I'm not sure if this is an actual episode or if this is just like B-reel footage.
We shall. The Me world B-reel will from, never know. Cypress Hill.
Hey, man, I had the Skull and Bones, on CD. That was probably the best two albums that Cypress Hill did. Cypress Hill has not did an album since, I don't think.
Yeah, I have no idea. But hell, we have not done an episode where we, like, just turn on the mics and, you know, see what happens, where we've, like, done nope. Well, there was that one drunken episode when we were just testing the equipment that never got aired because it devolved into, like, chaos, like, very early.
You know, we maybe should find that and release that to the Patreons out there.
Oh, no, because, like, that would probably get us kicked off the network.
I can go through and, you know, make sure that there's nothing too off, you know, basis. But, I mean, you know, that's one of the beauties of being a podcaster is, you know, I mean, after 90 episodes of a structural format, it's time to say, fuck the format. I really need to get a soundboard so I can, you know.
We need some, like, you know, freaking sound effects and stuff. Well, you know, we do have, I don't know if we announced last time that we've been approved to return to Dragon Con. So, you know, this is practice. You get out the mobile recording studio here and practice, you know, coming up with interview topics and whatnot.
Well, usually the interview topics revolve around said guests that we, you know, get the.
Shit, we forgot a guest.
Nah, Norm's here. Yeah. Periodically. But he's always here in spirit.
Yes.
As well as, you know, everybody else that have ever recorded with the Cigar Nerds. Quite a few people in our lineup.
I mean, this is going to be episode 90, so we got to come up with something special for episode 100. We should track down everybody who's been on the show and get them back on the show.
So, you know, for listeners, subscribers, you know, people that follow the Cigar Nerds, give us your thoughts, your recommendations. I mean, you know, we have a few months probably to, you know, episode 100. So, you know, what would you guys and gals and...
Remember what the Drinking Bros did for their episode 100?
The Drinking Bros have a lot bigger budgets.
Yeah, their episode 100 was special.
So, yeah.
It involved, like, you know.
Whoa.
Naked people.
How are we going to plug the Drinking Bros, man? They do everything epically.
Yeah,
pretty much. Like, we're only
they need, like, no support from us.
Yeah, no, not at all.
So, yeah, 2018. We've had some celebrity deaths this year, is what we were. Yeah, originally going to talk about before we just...
Well, I mean, not really just, you know, I like to, you know, think about the, you know, accomplishments of, you know, the lives. And, you know, what kind of brought this episode, you know, to fruition was, you know, the passing of Vern Troyer. And, you know, it was, you know, in conversations, everybody always remembers him as Mini-Me, you know. But he was in so many other great films, but... I don't know. I mean, you know, going back and watching Austin Powers, like, they're not really that enjoyable of movies to me. Like,
yeah, because this was originally going to be, like, just a full Austin Powers episode. Then we're like, yeah, Vern Troyer was only in two of those movies, and they don't really hold up that well to me. So maybe we broadened the specter and talked about some other big passings we've had as well. But right now, let's talk about Vern. Who was, like I said, that was funny, is like looking into him, he started off as a stuntman, like a stunt double. And for like He was a stunt double for like Infants and Baby's Day Out and like a couple other other movies. Where so Austin Powers was his first like big role where he wasn't either a stunt double or some kind of creature in a movie. Where because he was even in the was it the freaking we talked about the shit Jingle All the Way with Arnold Schwarzenegger and Sinbad. Like when Arnold's having to fight all the Santa Clauses, he was the little Santa Claus. So he had already had a career before Austin Powers, but it was kind of either you know a like you know stunt double or a creature. You know he never got the you know co-starring role until you know Austin Powers.
Yeah, and you know I am, and don't get me wrong. I mean you know. When you think of Dr. Evil, I mean, you know, the way that, you know, they, you know, gave him, you know, almost a spitting image and a micro-sized pack. I actually didn't realize how short Vern Troyer was.
Yeah,
like
2'8".
Yes. I mean.
That is way small.
But, I mean, you know, after looking at, you know, some of the other, you know, whether it's Love Guru or, you know, heck, Harry Potter, you know, so many of the other, like, would have been an awesome person to sit down and have a beer with.
Yeah, I mean, because he may have been small in stature, but he was huge in personality.
I mean, that's the thing is, you know, the character of Mini-Me, like, I mean, holy shit, dude. Like, I enjoyed that character more than I actually did Dr. Evil. Dr. Evil to me was like, all right, this is just freaking stupid.
That and two, both of those Austin Power movies he was in, he never had any dialogue. You know, he was like, you know, pretty much like a mime. But to be able to like portray, you know, comedy without even like speaking and just you know the emoting and whatnot. I mean, it's kind of a hard job to do.
Oh,
to
yeah, absolutely.
Show personality without you know actually.
I mean, basically,
saying anything.
You know, he was just relying on body language. I mean, you know, and. All right, I'm going to, I guess, you know, we said random topicness, but I mean, we kind of talked about a very similar thing when we were talking about Vin Diesel and doing, you know, the voice of Groot and stuff. And I yeah. mean, here you have Groot that's, I am Groot, three words, but I mean, the way that the...
Just the way he says them and the way, you know, the body movements of the character, you know, it's like, yeah, has
you know exactly,
a large, it's like you know exactly what he's talking about.
It's almost like when you're in love and you gaze into your true love's eyes and you don't even need to... You know, say anything. You just connect. Is this that devolve thing we were talking about earlier?
No, this thing you're trying to like get me to say something and get me in trouble is what it is. But yeah, him and Mike Myers together is like an hilarious moment. That whole like fight scene in the first Austin Powers with him versus Mini-Me that fight was hysterical. It's like, you know, you see a full grown man beating someone the size of a child. Like, you kind of want to feel bad for him, but then he just does like move where he's like, you're like, no, he needs to get his ass kicked. I mean, like, gets inside his suit and bites him in the nuts. And
I mean, that's the thing. I mean, you know, you got to take the advantage where you can get it, right? And I mean.
And then Soul would come up to him
like a pit bull.
Come up to him like, you know, kind of like, oh, I'm sorry. And he's like, oh, yeah. And then he punches him again. He's like, oh, I'm not sorry. Oh.
But I don't know. I mean, that's kind of what made this character, you know, so enjoyable. So enjoyable. I mean, that was a bigger highlight than the Shagadelic, you know, Austin Powers, you know, himself. Like,
yeah, I think that second movie is the only one of the Austin Powers movies I've watched multiple times. Like, I think I've seen the other ones like maybe once, but when that one like comes on TV, I'm like, all right, I'm gonna hang out and watch me like Mini-Me get into some shit. And then the second one too, where he's kind of switched sides, and now he's working, he's trying to be like a little Austin, and I love it when he's like hitting on Beyonce. Hands her a note and it's like, do you have a little midget in you? No. And then hands her another note, would you like some? And just like, hey baby.
Little guy, big personality. I love it. I still feel like I'm doing that quiet thing. That's weird.
And even like the movies where he, you know, finally got a speaking role, Dr. Freak and Bubble Boy, where he's like the head of the freak show, and just like he played an asshole very well. Like, you know, it's strange for, like, yeah, because, I mean, he was like this, you know, bully that, like, ran the freak show, but it was like this tough and intimidating character, but yeah, it's Vern Troyer. But yeah, like he said, he played like
who was tough and intimidating,
angry dude very well. And even in what was it, you know, another great movie with him and Mike Myers, The Love Guru, where he played a hockey coach, and was like just constantly abusing Mike Myers.
Yes,
and I loved it because he had like an office that everything was scaled to like his size. Even the ceiling was low, so everyone like had like. Crawl in and hunch down in his office, and it was like, you know, this is the power move. Like, you know, it's like you're in my environment now, motherfucker.
I mean, you got to take people out of their comfort zone. I mean, you know, situational awareness. You know, give yourself the edge. Because I can't fight in a confined space. I can't think in a confined space. All I can think about is, wow, I'm going to have to contort myself in ways that I'm not sure I can contorts myself.
Yeah, no, I would never make it in his office. I'd be like, oh, I'm just going to talk to you from the doorway because my knees don't get that low. I can't do it, coach.
It's like going through like the dwarf house at Chick-fil-A's and stuff. It's like, I just can't do it.
I've done it for shits and giggles. I'm like, there's a little door. You want to go through it. Like, that's for children. I don't care. It's fine. I want to go through the little door.
I mean, we're like really big children.
Pretty much.
I mean, we still play video games. We, you know, still enjoy our comic books, our superhero movies. We never really grew up, did we?
No.
We got beards.
The toys just got more expensive.
Yeah, lots more expensive.
That Glock 19X life.
And somehow popular. Like, that's the thing that's really weird to me now. It's like, I was never popular. Like, I mean, I didn't have, like, disagreements or, like, enemies or anything, but, you know, I definitely didn't follow the popular trends, and now it's kind of weird because it's like,
yeah, back in the day,
this stuff is popular, but it's things I've been doing all of my life.
Yeah, back in the day, if you were, you know, playing Dungeons & Dragons and all this, you know, reading comic books and everything, you know, you were a nerd, not part of the mainstream, but now there's, like, every town's got a comic book store, and you go in there on like a weekend, and like it's full of people playing Magic or Dungeons and Dragons or whatever, and you know, like all these like stuff like Sideshow collectibles and stuff that's like really expensive toys. Basically, it's like people our age grew up, and now we're in charge and have money to spend on the toys that we were ashamed of or couldn't afford when we were kids. So now they're marketing to... That's exactly why freaking Legos are like $500 a pop now. It's because they're no longer selling to children. They're selling to adults.
But man, think about the skills. I mean, you know, dude, you get like a 7-foot Millennium Falcon that's like 5 feet high and 7,000 pieces and...
Oh yeah, that collector's edition Millennium Falcon, I was like, I want that so bad. But yeah, it's like... It costs more than some of the guns I own. I'm like, I can't justify it.
But then you got a Falcon to protect you.
Yeah, that and I have kids now, so having like a really expensive toy that I want to put on a shelf, that's not going to last. If a kid doesn't knock it down, one of the dogs will.
Then you get to put it back together again. That's the beauty of Legos. It's not like it's permanently broken.
It just depends on, like, out of that 1,000 pieces, how many pieces you lost and went down the heater vent when it fell off the shelf.
But you're an adult. You can tear out the floor and retrieve said pieces. You couldn't do that as a kid.
I have tools. We have the tools. We have the technology. We can rebuild him.
Maybe they really could put Humpty together again.
I mean, they're doing amazing things with lasers now. I'm sure modern times, we could have fixed Humpty. I mean, I just saw a guy get like a full, like, you know, dick and balls transplant. I mean, if that's the way technology is now, we can fix Humpty Dumpty. All I'm saying is that's going to be the new... We need to reboot Humpty Dumpty.
Just remember, somewhere somebody said... Yeah, we should do a movie with tornadoes, but with sharks in them.
Yes. No idea is stupid anymore. This is the point where, like, it's like, you know, especially with, like, Netflix and, like, so many, like, you know, back in the day, there was three channels. now there's like hundreds of channels plus hundreds of websites, you know, all with their own streaming services. It's like there's so many outlets now that everyone is like starved for content. So there's like a place for anything dumb you can think of. There's a home for it somewhere.
And yet, for some reason, the major studios that have limitless budgets somehow keep doing the same shit over and over again. Dun dun dun.
What a twist.
God.
All right, so I guess, you know, we digress. All right, so there we go. We broke from, you know, the sadness. Let's talk about, you know, I mean,
I gotta say, Vern Troyer in reality shows too was amazing to watch. There's nothing like Vern Troyer drunk and naked and a rascal to, like, you know, really brighten your day. It's like, I want to be naked and a rascal. That looks fun.
But yeah, I mean, another, you know, big one that, you know, really struck home because we did a Full Metal Jacket episode was Arlie Ermey. And, you know, I mean, you know, it's old Gunny, you know, I mean, shit, that one, you know.
Gunnery Sergeant Arlie Ermey, which, you know, if you're not familiar with his pre-movie military career, he was actually, you know, he left the service as a staff sergeant and a drill instructor. So, like I said, Arlie Ermey in Full Metal Jacket is Arlie Ermey when he was in the Marine Corps. But, you know, in 2002, he was, you know, honorarily promoted to gunnery sergeant just for all the times he had portrayed, you know, military characters and always, like, been very supportive of the military and, you know, the Marines in particular. You know, he played, you know, all kind of soldier roles in his early career that, you know, the Marine Corps was like, you know, you're our celebrity. And so he got a promotion to full-on gunny from, because he had played one for years at that point.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, just an amazing guy. And I don't know, you know, it's crazy, you know, I mean, you know, the love that he had, not only, you know, from the film aspect of things, but the things that he was doing off screen, you know, with, you know, many different veteran organizations and stuff like that. And
yeah, and he worked for, you know, not only pro-military, but also big supporter of the Second Amendment. He worked for, you know, Glock. A lot of my friends that actually met him, he was always at, like, the Glock booths at, like, various, like, you know, the NRA shows, stuff like that, and was, like, a, you know, active shooter himself. But, you know, his roles were great, and, you know, we'll talk about a couple of those in a second, but Arlie Ermey being Arlie Ermey, too, was in itself awesome, because his two shows he did for the History Channel, Mail Call and Locked and Loaded,
yes,
were probably my two of my favorite shows on, and a lot of them are on, you can find them on YouTube and stuff now, or I think even Netflix has, I know Locked and Loaded was on Netflix, and anyone who's like a fan or just interested in military history and military equipment or firearms in general, those are two great shows to watch, because Mail Call was just basically people writing letters asking him about, you know, military history or whatnot, and him demonstrating, you know, talking about history, demonstrating different weapon platforms, all that. And then Locked and Loaded was basically like a history of firearms. Like, you do an episode on cannons, an episode on rifles, and always blowing shit up. And his you know, dreaded enemy, the watermelon.
Yes.
I wonder how many, like, watermelons he went through in the filming of that show, because that was always the thing he wanted to, like, shoot when they when they were demoing some weapon. He's like, let's kill a watermelon.
I don't know, but, I mean, had to have a pretty big melon budget.
It probably was just like just a farm just for Arlie Ermey. It's like, he's like, what do you produce? Oh, we just produce watermelons for Arlie Ermey. That's all we do. He's our
the
number
biggest,
one customer.
Densest, massivest, you know, massivest. Man, this episode's crazy.
I feel like we should like record this disclaimer for this episode. It's like, we're sorry. We were busy. We made up stuff at the last minute.
Isn't that what being a podcaster is all about?
Yeah, you know, yeah. We at least put some prep into the episode occasionally.
I mean, it's pretending to talk about things that you pretend to know about.
Hey, I don't pretend to know about it. I've got Google. I've read Wikipedia a time or two.
don't give away our sources. I have to edit that out. You know that, right?
But other than Gunnery Sergeant Hartman from Full Metal Jacket, do you have any other like highlights of Arlie Ermey that that you enjoyed?
I mean, those are some of the biggest ones. I mean, you know, I felt like the guy that you got on screen was the same guy that you would get off screen. Like, and like, yes, like, that's probably the most densest finger to the chest ever. Like, I mean, that thing would probably stop my heart. But I would be like, it would almost be like an awe-inspiring moment. Like, you know, just to, you know, be berated. Like...
Oh, yeah, there's, like, so many...
Like, that would almost be a, you know, a passage of rites in a way.
Yeah, there's so many pictures of him, like, people who have met him at different shows and stuff. They always want him to choke them. There's so many video pictures and stuff of Arlie Ermey, you know, choking random people. It's kind of like this one, you know, one of my life goals that I missed was to get to yelled at by Arlie Ermey. I mean, there's that, and I want to be called a motherfucker by Samuel L. Jackson. I mean, there's just... two of my bucket list items, and I've just missed out on one.
I saw a interesting thing that said, all right, you get $10 million, but for, you know, every penny you spent, you get called yes. a motherfucker by Samuel L. Jackson. I was like, that's so Joe.
Oh, yeah.
And it's but like, does he, you know, use different tones?
Approving. Motherfucker. yeah. Oh, man. I'd say one of my favorite... I mean, Arlie Ermey. Did you ever see the movie Saving Silverman?
I don't think I have.
Oh God, you got to see that movie. It's hilarious. It has Neil Diamond in it. But it's got Jason Biggs and his two buddies are in like a Neil Diamond cover band, and he eventually like hooks up with this girl who just completely like. Controls his life and like abuses him and is completely the wrong woman for him. So they come up with a plan that they're going to find some girl he had like a crush on back in the day and like reintroduce them. So they kidnap his girlfriend and hold her hostage and make him think that she left him while he falls in love with this other girl. And they're like, you know, holding her hostage, and they call Arlie Ermey for advice because he's like their high school coach. And apparently he went to prison for killing someone with a javelin. But at one point he gets out of prison and comes to stay with them and is like trying to convince them, like, y'all gotta kill this lady, you know, just and they're like trying to cover up that they had this woman in the house and because they got her in the back, and he's like, guys, I gotta take a dump, and he's like, where's your bathroom? They're like, oh, we don't have a bathroom, we just poop in the yard, and he's like, it's a good idea, it saves water. The next thing is like Arlie Ermey is like out in the front yard like taking a shit and reaching in the mailbox to use mail as like pipe is toilet paper. It's like the weirdest role.
I think I did see that now. Like, for some reason, I wasn't connecting the dots, but all of that sounds very familiar.
Oh, yeah. It's just one of those where he's, like, just being a complete weirdo, and it's hysterical. Speaking of weirdos, too, you know, in the new Texas Chainsaw Massacre movies, he played, like, the sheriff of the you know, the town and was part of, you know, Leatherface's family and was just super creepy. Like, as much as he plays, like, these badass military roles, him as a psychopath or the villain of a movie is almost better as him being, like, you know, one of the heroes.
Well, I mean, I think you gotta have a little psychotic, you know, when it comes with your background and, you know, you're trying to, you know, whip people into shape and, you know, essentially break them down to rebuild them to everything they'll ever be.
Oh, yeah, and he did some great commercials for Glock, too. If you can go on YouTube and look at those Arlie Ermey Glock commercials, they're every one of them's like, hilarious. In a, yeah, people getting shot type of way.
Which...
I think my favorite is...
It's only sometimes hilarious.
My favorite is when this guy, like, goes to rob a little roadside diner, and he puts on, like, you know... silk pantyhose over his head for a mask.
Oh,
and
dude, that was Pulp Fiction.
And he can't see anything, so he runs in the store, and they're like, you know, this is a robbery, and then goes to, like, jump over the counter to get the register, and trips and falls, and when he comes up from behind the counter and pulls the mask off, everyone in the restaurant is holding a gun on him, and there's a sign that says, welcome, like, you know, National Chief of Police meeting, or something like that. So, like, everyone in there is a cop, and Arlie Ermey is, like, the guy working behind the counter pouring a cup of coffee. He's like, somebody picked the wrong store.
I feel like that needs to happen. If that happened more often, there would be a lot less crime. Like, I was in Waffle House the other day, and I'm like, am I safe here?
from the food, no.
Dude, okay. So, I mean, I'm sure everybody's got a crazy Waffle House story, but, you know, this one's going to take a turn crazy in a whole different way. So, I ended up ordering a dinner that came with a salad, right? Normally, they just go, rip the saran wrap off the salad and bring it to you.
A Waffle House salad, you're living dangerously.
Well, I mean, it didn't have romaine, so I don't have to worry about E. coli. So, you know. Anyway, like, the lady's like, so do you want this, you know, the ham, the cheese, and everything? And I'm like, that's a thing at Waffle House? I didn't even... Well, apparently they don't have shredded cheese. So she's over there ripping strips of sliced American cheese to top the salad. She throws in a massive handful of chunked ham and, you know, diced bell pepper and everything. I'm like, dude, this is like a gourmet salad. Like, I was perplexed. Didn't know what was happening.
Must be hungry. You just trilled all over yourself.
I ate a little bit ago, but yeah, that was not cool.
You're really thinking about that Waffle House salad again.
Dude, it tripped me out. I didn't even know. That was like walking into a place and, you know, somebody that's in the know, you know, just places an order for an off-the-menu item that, you know, comes out, you know, super delicious that you didn't even know was a thing. And so that was my, like, secret off-the-menu item, I guess.
The weirdest thing that ever happened to me in a Waffle House is there was a guy in the next booth that was high as a kite. He was, like, obviously on some kind of hallucinogen and just kept staring at me. So me and my friend just kept turning around and making, like, monster faces at him in mid-conversation and then going back to talking like nothing had ever happened. And he's just, like, freaking out because he doesn't know if he's really seeing this or not. And, like, by the time we left, he was, like, in the booth crying because he, like, thought demons were going to get him.
You traumatized some soul.
Hey, I was just trying to help him out. Hopefully he, like, had a bad enough trip that he didn't do that again.
I was like, I was in Waffle House heaven. Now I'm in Waffle House hell.
They're going to kill me and put me in Burt's chili.
Hey, I don't know what Burt puts in his chili. All right, but Burt's got a pretty good grip on the chili most of the times. Sometimes it's pretty obvious that Burt did not make the chili that morning. So,
or he did, but it was 3 mornings ago and they're still using the same pot.
Good Waffle House stories. Man, American diners are just dying out left and right, aren't they? They're becoming less and less of a thing.
There's still a few good small ones around. But yeah, it's one of those that's like, it's all been taken over by chain restaurants.
I mean, I kind of remember like Denny's being a pretty big thing. And it's like, last time I was in a Denny's, I was like, nah, it's not even truckers here. So you know the food's not good.
The only time I ever ate at Denny's was there's one in Norcross, Georgia, and we'd always eat there after like a night at Netherworld because like 2 a.m. and that's the only place open. It's Waffle House, IHOP, or Denny's, and Denny's was the closest.
That's another thing too. Our IHOP is now like doing away with 24 hours at most places.
Yeah, there's only like a few like rare ones that are open all night. But yeah, I talked them into making me a bacon milkshake one night and they actually did it, so it was pretty sweet. Strawberry bacon milkshake is excellent. And a few months later, they actually put one on the menu. I'm like, they stole my idea. Like, they owe me some money. I invented the strawberry bacon milkshake.
See, I could see chocolate and bacon, but I would not think strawberry. That's an interesting concept.
I was basically just being a smartass, and I was every time someone orders something, I'm like, she should get bacon on that. So, like, someone ordered a milkshake, I'm like, she should get bacon on that. And they're like, do it. I'm like, I'll order it if they'll make it. And she's like, can I get a strawberry bacon milkshake? You're like, are you serious? I'm like, I ordered it. If you make it, I'll drink it. And she's like, okay.
So what do they do? Just strawberry milkshake with like 4 strips of bacon or something?
No, they just put it in the blender with the milkshake. So there's like little chopped up pieces of bacon in it. It was awesome. They were small enough to suck through a straw, so it was like eating that sweet and savory. It was nice. I was not disappointed. I was like, I gotta try this on more things.
That's interesting. I mean, I've seen like, you know, martinis with like bacon and all kinds of crazy stuff in them, but things that make you go, hmm.
So what else we got? I'll tell you another one that I was a huge fan on that recently passed. Harry Anderson. If you've ever watched a show called Night Court, he was Judge Harry Stone. But also, and was a touring magician. He was almost like bigger as a magician than he was as an actor. That was like pretty
much
where
he made his career. I've never seen Night Court, but I've seen, you know, some of his magic or magician stuff. And, you know, because when I saw the images and everybody's talking about Night Court, and I'm like, man, I don't remember Night Court. And
Night Court was like a great show. I mean, it was one of those that was always. It's one that was like in the early days when, you know, on like, you know, it was one of those shows that always ended up in reruns on some channel, so it was playing like all the time. And I don't sleep, so I'd see weird TV shit at night from like on Nick at Night or whatever. And it was basically like a New York court where they had court at night, and he was like this kind of like, you know, small claims or whatever, you know. So he's never working murders, but it was like, you know, misdemeanor traffic stuff and drunken disorderlies and theft and whatnot. And he was like this. In the show, he was supposed to be like the youngest sitting court judge, and was just like a weirdo magician and obsessed with there was like some old musician. I can't remember who it was now, but in every role of acting he's done, he's always worked in his magic into the role. So like, you know, Judge Harry was also an amateur magician, but then he had like a recurring role on Cheers too as a con man that would always come in there and like scam people out of drinks and usually some weird magic trick. I seen one, and it was like, he's like, all right, I bet you I can drink this beer without like touching it. And he's like he puts a beer on the counter, puts his like, because he always wore like a fedora, puts his hat over it, and he's like, yeah, I guarantee I can drink that without lifting the hat. And they're like, no way. So he like ducks under the counter, makes like a drink, and always like, there, it's empty. And they're like, bullshit, and like pulls the hat, and then he just grabs the beer and chugs it, and he's like, walks out. But he was like always showing up as this random like con artist. And even, you know, he played like the adult version in It, in the second half of the It miniseries. And I believe he was a professional magician in that as well. It was like, you know, like I said, he was more of a magician than he was ever. Because I heard like even after he kind of stepped away from acting, he opened like an occult shop in New Orleans and sold like magic tricks and and weird shit.
Dude, I love going to places like that though. Like it kills me though, because the people behind the counter obviously have spent a long time mastering like every trick, you know, that they sell in the shop, and I've yet to successfully reproduce one.
Because I don't know, I'm always a fan of magician. I mean, we saw one at Steampunk Expo, Atlanta Steampunk Expo last year, and hoping to go do that this year. We need to call up old Bill and see if we can we do a panel? Can we do a podcast there? Because we're going anyway. We should like do something while we're here. But yeah, like magic is something that's always fascinating. I've always wanted to go to the Magic Castle out in LA and see that place. I mean, hell, whatever. Neil Patrick Harris is like the president of the Magic Castle. He's you know, one of those actor magicians too. It's, you know, skill set I never learned, but I would always love to.
Well, I mean, it would just be learn like magic. You said, you know. I mean, you know, bar games, right? I mean, I would love to get a hustle, or I could just, you know, sucker drunk people out of money.
I used to watch all those,
but
magic
I'm gonna need
specials
like a
when they came
or
in.
Something.
The one I saw that cracked me up was David Blaine when he was doing all his street magic specials. He did one where he went to like Compton. I mean, he's like in the middle of like every rap video you've ever seen filmed in like LA. I mean, there's dudes like, you know, that you know, probably got out of jail that morning all standing around watching him do magic tricks. And he did something, and then these gangsters like, oh shit, he's the devil, and just ran. He scared the fuck out of them. These like hard ass dudes were like, as soon as he makes like a quarter disappear, they're like, oh fuck, and just like booked.
Next is gonna be my freedom.
Oh.
And I nearly got away with it if it wasn't for you meddling magicians.
Oh. Damn. Scoop. Ah, Roshaggy. Oh.
I don't know what was in the Scooby snacks, man, but it was something in the Scooby snacks.
Oh, another thing I saw from Harley Ermia, because, you know, not long after, like, I think it was like a week after he passed, former First Lady Barbara Bush passed away, and someone had posted, like, you know, the death of Harley Ermia makes more sense now. They had to be a Marine on hand to escort the First Lady in.
See, stuff like that is just way too serious. Like, damn. Moment of silence. All right, we'll commence.
That's because you just needed some time to think about something to talk about.
No, I didn't even think. That's the sad part. Uh-oh. What's next in the assortment here?
Well, we also lost Jerry Van Dyke, brother of Dick Van Dyke, who's always just fun to say.
Why, Joe?
Because his name's Dick.
Richard.
But yeah, Jerry Van Dyke was one of those guys who was, like, you know, always a comedic actor that showed up in a lot of things. He was always in pretty much anything that Dick Van Dyke did. But the thing I know him most for is an old show with Craig T. Nelson called Coach, where he played assistant coach Luther Dobbins.
And I think I've seen a few episodes of Coach.
Like,
see, this is where that age gap thing hinders us.
This is where I worked at, like, a night shift job where there was nothing in a town where nothing ever happened. So I watched a lot of, like, Nick at Night and rerun TVs. And, like I said, Coach is one of those ones that I've seen.
So you had TBS.
Yeah, pretty much. Watched a lot of TBS at 3 in the morning.
You know a show that I really miss that I think would be great? It'd be Mad TV. I feel like that could make a resurgence.
Yeah, it's like there's not a lot of good sketch comedy shows. I mean, Saturday Night Live still,
well, I mean,
I think still on, but I never watch it anymore.
I mean, you know, so many shows have just gone, you know, oh, we're going to do the comedic, you know, political news stuff. And I'm like it's played out. Like, you know, I guess that's one of the reasons I love Mad TV was, you know, just the skits were original and, you know, you're looking like a man. Yeah, I mean, Miss Swan and Stewart and Spy vs. Spy, I mean.
Yeah, Miss Swan always kind of reminds me of Consuela from Family Guy.
I wonder if there's a correlation there.
Well, I think the same lady that does Miss Swan is the voice of the mom on Family Guy. So it's like she may have had something to do with that character as well.
Or it's like The Simpsons, where every character is voiced only by, like, two people.
Yeah, that's why all those people are super rich, because they don't have to split the profits. There's three actors doing everything.
Don't worry, Simpsons did it.
Yeah. Like that one guy, like, trying to do a documentary about how Apu is racist. It's like, dude, the thing's been on the air for, like, 30 years by now. Like, get over it. The time to complain about Apu was, like, 30 years ago. It's like, at this point, it's like, we don't care anymore. We all know it's racist, but no one cares, because it's a stupid cartoon.
Is it? I mean, you know, I don't know. I feel like I'm a pretty equal offender.
Well,
I mean,
and, you know, in the day of snowflakes, it's like, oh, there's a white guy doing a stereotypical Indian voice. That's why it needs to end. Whatever. It's been funny for the last 30 years. Like, get over it. It's just now offensive.
Well, I don't know.
Shut up. Go watch something else.
Get off my lawn.
Damn right.
Damn kids.
Oh, I got some good damn kids stories, but we got to wait until the Avengers episode to tell that story, because it's pretty hilarious. Oh.
Man, talk about a somber tone.
That went way out the window early on. This is the most off the rails episode, and we're not even drunk. Like, at least last week we had an excuse because we had, like, two, like, stouts.
I was lit. It was great. I felt free.
This week our only excuse is we were both busy and never got around to actually doing anything. And we're like, shit, we need to record.
No,
an episode.
I mean, you know, I did go back and rewatch Austin Powers, and that just reminded me that, man, do I really want to spend an entire hour going, yeah, baby. It's probably the worst Mike Myers, you know, Austin Powers impression ever, but, you know.
Fat bastard. I'm dead sexy.
See? You can do that and get away with it. In fact, I did see him, and I'm like, holy shit, it's Joe.
Fuck you. I'm not that fat. But I am dead sexy. Oh. Mike Myers is a weirdo.
Well, I mean, there's just so much of the, you know, the Britcom element to it. And I get it. I mean, some of it's funny. But, you know, others, yeah. it just,
there
it's
is
almost
like
trying too hard.
I mean, there's definitely some, like, good British comedy. Like, I love some Monty Python, you know, and... But,
dude,
yeah.
Don't you ever compare Austin Powers to Monty Python.
Exactly what I'm saying. There's good British humor, and then there's, like, you know... Yeah, baby. Shagadelic.
I already used those lines.
Well, he used them, like, 150 times per movie. That, too, and I'm, like, such a James Bond fan. Anything kind of making fun of the spy genre, I'm like, it's just... No, this is the thing I like. Quit making fun of it. And Norm's back. We've kind of devolved into random topics. So, got anything random to talk about?
What's the random talk you're going on now?
Now we're just talking about how bad Austin Powers is.
Austin Powers is a classic, and neither of you know what you're talking about.
Okay, great. We got a differing opinion. All right, Norm.
Now, the sequels, not so much, but the original first Austin Powers is funny. And it's a good riff on the spy genre of movies.
Was that the bell?
Oh, that was the bell, but I know who it is, so it's okay.
So how's, have you, you know, we just mentioned that we have been invited back to Dragon Con, so are you in
nice.
Mid Dragon Con prep, or...
Yeah, Dragon Con prep is starting to ramp up. You know,
as if that didn't begin like immediately following Dragon
no,
Con last year.
There is a good 3 months of no Dragon Con thought, but you know, yeah,
that's when everyone rests.
Like, that's when the dragon is stirring, and you know it's time to start getting preparations.
So there's a you know like, oh wow, we'll keep the mic on the table, folks.
Like I said, this whole episode was just for us to practice using the mobile setup for get ready for Dragon Con.
Exactly. So this is a test run. Got it.
You know, similar tables. I think this one's a little bit better than what we got.
Yeah.
It's definitely higher. And they let us smoke here.
That always a plus sign.
Yeah, it's like I don't know how to talk without a cigar in my hand. You know, it's like the hardest part of doing interviews at Dragon Con.
If you could get to record at the Red Phone booth, you can get guests to come over there.
That would be nice.
Yeah, the invitations for the 5th annual Dragon Con Cigar Group meetup went out today.
Yes, they did.
Yeah, so if you're on the Facebooks, look up the Dragon Con Cigar Group. We are always there, but we have an annual meeting on the Thursday of Dragon Con at 7:30, I believe, starts at the Red Phone booth.
Which is
speakeasy.
Awesome because they relax the dress code, so feel free to come in cosplay and costumes.
Yeah, because the rest of the year you got to wear like collars and look nice because it's a fancy speakeasy. But Dragon Con, they're like, whatever, just
yes,
come on in.
Where we give out the code to the masses and let everybody go and come in.
Yeah, because they always change the code like a month after Dragon Con.
Oh, yeah, because we're tired of Dragon Con.
That's the time to reset it.
But yeah, but advice for that is... The earlier the better because the place is only so big and
that we do fill to capacity.
Yeah, we
yeah,
do
last
fill,
year
it does
there was
fill
like,
up.
There was a line outside waiting and people were getting let in as people were leaving. It was
yeah, and it's not just us. It's the regular Dragon Con crowd and the regular customer base too that are all trying to get in there all at the same time.
Yeah, I wonder what the staff thinks of. I mean, they let us come back every year. They're definitely making some money off
of us. I think
they
like it.
I tip
like,
well, so I know they enjoy
like,
it.
You know, crowded.
And the drinks are on point.
Oh, yes. Absinthe fountains.
Oh, you don't even remember that. Yeah, someone had to tell you about that after the fact.
Oh, I remember. Seems like I always buy like 4 every time we end up going. I'm like, you gotta experience this.
Just bring me whiskey and whiskey
I don't
accessories.
Care that it's $30. Bring it.
I need an old fashioned. I need another old fashioned. Just keep bringing the old-fashioned.
Smoked old-fashioned on point.
Yes.
All right. They always seem like have like a couple random cigars there that I've not seen elsewhere. So it's always a good opportunity to try that. And like,
well, I mean, you really got to go to more than one cigar shop.
And their house cigar is pretty good.
Yeah,
I've been there since, and I've tried their new house cigar, and it's a pretty good smoke.
Then the two, because of the meetup, they kind of have a relaxed, like, it's almost like you buy one from us and then smoke one of your own. So they'll let you bring outside cigars in for that event. So there's always some like trading going on. So
we're trading happens.
You know, because
I got to get back to work.
We'll be here for another 15 minutes or so.
God, are we going to last that long?
But yeah, it's always like an opportunity because, like, you know, some cigars are regional where, like, you know, they're not like a huge, like, Rocky Patel. It's in every, you can pretty much get in every state. So it's always cool to kind of find something that, you know, I can't find in my local area.
Yeah. I still want to, you know, I don't know. We definitely got to get out and experience more. I feel like we've hit a comfort zone. We're in our comfort bubble. We got to get outside the bubble.
Yeah, we haven't been down to...
This episode is our step outside the bubble.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, because, you know, Georgia's turned into a pretty good cigar state. I mean, there's stores around. I mean, this is obviously our favorite, and, you know, sometimes drive past other stores to get here. But, yeah, like I said, there's, you know, find a, you know, if you're a person who buys all your cigars online, find a local shop somewhere and, you know, kind of experience the culture and smoking with other people and not just alone in your shed.
And that's the big draw with the cigar meetup at Dragon Con, with just hanging out in brick and mortar. I mean, you know, we've talked time and time again, yes, cigars are great, love cigars, but, you know, it's the interaction with folks that, you know, without that common cigar, you probably would not be interacting together. Like, if you were to just cross paths on the street, you know, but, you know, I've met so many interesting people from all different kinds of walks of life, and, you know, it's always an enjoyable experience, and that's why I prefer cigars over cigarettes.
Exactly.
Take that, FDA.
Oh, and speaking of cigars, there is a movie I wanted to give a shout out to that, if I can find it. There's some guys making a documentary about cigars and cigar culture, and it's crap, where's it at? I gotta find it. But yeah, I'm trying to find the website. Yeah, talk about something, Brad. I'm googling.
hand rolled.
That's why I'm looking up the wrong thing. I'm looking freaking handmade. No wonder I can't find Yes, Hand Rolled the movie. Yeah, look that up. They're right now, I think they're still
in.
Yeah,
we'll
link
a video to the trailer too.
Yeah, Hand Rolled, a film about cigars. They've filmed a lot of the movie, and they're hoping it comes out toward the end of the year. Because right now, I think they're still like on an Indiegogo, trying to come up with like the last bit of money to finish it. Because I believe they filmed a bunch of stuff in the Dominican and here in the U.S. and they're wanting to go film some more interviews in Nicaragua and Cuba to finish up the film. But they've already got like a trailer put together with, you know, the footage they've filmed so far. And, you know, it looks pretty interesting. We may reach out to these guys, see if we can get them on the podcast.
There is no may. We will reach out, and they will oblige.
But yeah, check that out.
They just don't know it yet.
And, yeah, donate if you wish, because this looks like it's, you know, going to be an interesting film.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I don't know. I mean, cigars go hand in hand with so many different, you know, I mean, it's huge in golf, huge in, you know, celebratory things, whether it be, you know, weddings, the birth of a child, military service. I mean, just so many common things that bring folks together over a leaf.
Yeah, and then speaking of, you know, the passing of celebrity, you know, cigars are always a good, like, you know, not only for a celebration, but for, you know, a remembrance. It's like the Crowned Heads Los Calaveras. That's kind of like their tribute cigar that they do every year. That's kind of like, you know, for, and I know there's another podcast, Cigar Jukebox, where he mixes movies, music with cigars. And every year he does like a tribute episode where he, you know, everyone who has like a shout out for a, you know, someone who has passed. They review that year's version of the Lost Calaveras and kind of, you know, talk about people's dedications for the year.
I mean, you know, death is one of those, you know, things that, you know, at some point we're all going to face. But, you know, I don't know. I like to think when I go that, you know, people will, you know, celebrate. There's one less asshole in the world. wait. Hold on. Yeah, that's probably going to be it. But no, I don't know. I don't want to do the whole sad, long, drawn-out thing. You know what? You know, pour me some scotch, light up some cigars, you know. Fuck. Live life to its fullest.
I need to, like, you know, set up a good prank for the end. Like, you know, somebody bear me with one of those, like, fart boxes that makes fart sounds occasionally. And just, you know, make it a funny.
Just do a little snippet. I'm not dead yet.
We record like a voice, like activated things
that are like, you know, for your eulogy or something like that. You know, just be like, you know, bring out your dead.
I'm not dead yet.
And it truly was just a flesh wound.
That's what happened. I drank too many flesh wounds.
No. We only drink one.
Oh, yeah. I don't even remember what all we put in that, but yeah, we invented a drink called the flesh wound because it won't kill you. It'll just make you wish you were dead. I know there was 151 in it, and then pretty much all the other random alcohols we had in the house, plus some like rot gut Nicaraguan rum that was not good. No, was it Jamaican? It was something you brought back from vacation that did not turn out well.
The Nicaraguan rum is the bomb. So it couldn't have been that.
No, I think it was something somebody had like given as a gift that was like, oh, it was rot gut. But yeah, there was all kind of random alcohols put in that glass that night, and it was, yeah, not fun. But we survived.
Because I am a survivor.
I am a survivor. That's all I know to that song.
That's, yeah, I don't know. Coming from the guy that does karaoke, that's kind of interesting. I figured you would like know like every song ever.
No, I just sing Eminem and Bon Jovi. That's like that's the only songs I know. Play some Bon Jovi, some Eminem, I'll get down. Maybe some AC/DC if I'm drunk enough. Oh God! at some point, I get drunk enough to sing whatever Rehab's "Sitting at the Bar." That's when you know I'm really drunk. Or Rodney Carrington, "Show 'Em to Me." That's another good drunk karaoke moment.
I just try not to sing.
I mean, you play guitar. You actually have musical skills. Like, how do you not sing? Like, that's why I'm the guitar player. I don't have to sing.
I can sing through my fingers. How about that?
Oh.
Everybody's like, man, they should really get another co-host because this guy behind a microphone just sucks. I can only imagine what he sings like. Like, fuck.
I'm dead sexy.
And you're a fat bastard.
That's what we do. We get, like, fat suits and do a fat bastard band. And we get all these, like, you know, like, freaking Slipknot and, like, Gore and all these guys who have, like, you know, costume Big personas off. for a band. We could do like the Fat Bastard Trio or something.
Is that gonna be our number one single? I'm Dead Sexy.
Yes, that's the first song off the that's the radio hit right there.
I feel like we should play a ukulele or something though, just really, really offbeat and off topic, like.
So as we're...
Really big guys with really little instruments.
Yes! Big guys, tiny instrument. Fat man with a little guitar.
Our girlfriends are probably like, yeah, see what they're saying. Sometimes I feel like we're like Harold and Kumar. Like, our girlfriends constantly probably plot against us and be like, what kind of dumb shit are they getting into? We got to keep them apart.
Well, at least yours doesn't listen to the podcast, so you can't get in trouble for stuff. Like, mine's a fan. So any shit I talk, I'm like, I hear about it a couple days later.
Yeah, but then your girlfriend will probably be like, hey, They talked to you. Oh, shit, I gotta go find it. 90 episodes later.
Those motherfuckers.
They didn't say one thing.
That's how you trick her into listening to the episode. Tell her we said something about her, and then she has to find it. She's like, I don't like listening to y'all when I'm in the same room. I'm not downloading your podcast.
I feel like that's how my music career would be, too. Ask why I don't sing. There's your reason.
So as we kind of wrap this up, what do you think of this here, Zakalo?
I got to tell you, the cigar is leaving me wanting more. And it's kind of interesting.
Luckily, we're in a cigar shop. We can just go get more.
I don't know if maybe it, you know, has mellowed out my taste buds or something, but that blast of pepper seems to have, you know, cut down to a subtle level. Like, it's there, but it's just on, you know, the tip of my tongue. It isn't as prevalent as when we first lit up, and it's kind of taken on a different flavor profile, too. This is not the same cigar that we were talking about 50 minutes ago.
Yeah, I don't know if it's kind of like mellowed out toward the end or if it's just like overloaded my taste buds now where I'm not like tasting it as much.
But I will tell you that I'm enjoying every minute of it. Like, and don't get me wrong. I mean, I like CAO. you know, yeah, more specifically the Flathead series, like the 660.
Yeah, the Flathead.
I like the CAO Czech 6.
Some of the
Amazon basin.
Amazon stuff has been. Yeah, I've not had a bad CAO cigar, and you know, speaking of former guests, you know, we interviewed their, you know, master blender and stuff, and you know, it's they kind of run that place like a. They're very experimental and willing to try new things over there, so it's. You know, one cigar doesn't taste like another cigar. I mean, there's some brands where it's like every cigar tastes similar, where this one is like every one we get is very different from the last one.
So what's
going to
suck about this cigar is I see it now is Cigar Aficionado is going to do their review, and this now $9 cigar is very easily going to be a $14 cigar.
That's the way it goes. Either once it gets like a 90-something rating, it either disappears because everyone wants to smoke and you can't find it, or the price goes way up because it's popular now.
So this is one, folks, that I would encourage you to go out and find an experience because, yeah.
And these are brand new. We literally, like, they were taking them out of the box and putting them on the shelf when we walked in. So this is, like, we literally got the first two cigars out of the box. So yeah, it's definitely brand new. You know, find it if you can, and you know, if you're in the coming area, the cigar shop has them. We can confirm that we're here right now.
By the way, it is the cigar shop off of Setting Down Road. Yep. A lot of people's like, hey, I keep hearing you talk about the cigar shop.
Like which shop? No, it's the cigar shop. And it's spelled like, you know, the old style Shoppee, or is it one E? Fuck. But yeah, it's spelled the fancy way.
And Microbrew Dr. Pepper is freaking amazing.
Yes, they have some damn good sodas and a huge beer selection here and a giant wine cellar that's right behind me right now. So yeah, if you're a connoisseur of cigars, beer, or wine, definitely come check this place out. And with that, we'll be right back with something else.
Do you like movies? Do you like TV?
Do you like discussing the temporal effects of non-linear time travel and its implication on the plot of the movie Looper?
Okay. Do you enjoy the latest in pop culture news? Do you enjoy superheroes?
Do you enjoy discussing the relative merits of superpowers and their effects on human physiology?
Anyways, if you enjoy these things, even a small amount, you'll love the Rusted Robot Podcast.
Find us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Podbean, YouTube, and make sure to subscribe. So you never miss an episode.
Subscribe, so you never miss an episode.
TheRustedRobot.podbean.com.
And now it's time for all things nerdy in Nerd News.
Yeah, so since we are recording in the open cigar shop and they'll be closing soon, no Beer 30 and no science this week because we're on a time crunch here. So take it away, Brad.
All right, so to jump into things for the second time, you know, interesting things, you know, occur when you're doing a live podcast.
Yeah,
like
the power
random
goes out.
Power outages.
And you lose 10 minutes of audio.
And, you know, your segment's recording, and you forget that, crap, I'm not on battery backup, and you lose that audio.
So, what's going on in nerd news?
A little film that's kind of spike my interest, but I'm hesitant to go out on a limb and say I'm super stoked for Venom. We got our, you know, second trailer, because I guess after the first one, not actually showing Venom.
Didn't really show anything except Tom Hardy yelling and running through the woods. At least now they showed the symbiote, and that's how you pronounce it, not Symbot or Symbiote, or, yeah, sounds like a robotic version of Simba, the Symbot. But, you know, at least that, you know, as I said, we know at least at one point the entire Venom shows up. I mean, the rest of the movie may be Tom Hardy with, like, goo arms, but at least once we're going to get an actual Venom on screen.
Yeah, and that's, I don't know. I still have some quips. I mean, I'm a Tom Hardy fan, but, you know, after Mad Max, I'm sorry, dude, you're Mad Max. Like, you know, and the other thing, too, is, how do you do this without Spider-Man? And,
yeah, it's like that character is so connected to the Spider-Verse that, yeah, having something with no Spider-Man in it is kind of weird. But it's at least, hopefully, it's better than the last Tobey Maguire Spider-Man version of Venom with the emo Spider-Man and the jazz singing number. As long as we don't have a musical scene, it's going to be better than the last on-screen Venom.
I just really hope that, you know, they've learned from the mistakes of the Tobey Maguire Spider-Man emo fest. And, you know, I mean, Marvel has stacked the deck pretty tall. And, you know, Venom is, you know, almost as iconic and recognizable as Spider-Man himself. So, I mean, this movie has the potential to go sideways pretty quick, I think. And I don't know, Sony Pictures with some of their stuff hasn't exactly had the best track record.
Yeah, their best movies are the ones they let Marvel do for them.
Yeah, so I don't know, you know. I don't want to poo-poo all over it. Maybe I do.
Hashtag pooping.
But
I'm going to make that a thing.
I'm just going to have to be cautiously optimistic on this one because, I mean, you know, one film that I would love, and I don't know necessarily how you do it without, you know, completely making it NC-17, but then again, people said that about Deadpool, but I would love a Carnage film. You know, Carnage is one of those iconic characters, but
yeah, maybe this at least leads us to a Carnage. That might be Venom 2, is Venom versus Carnage. Or they go like the Agent Venom route where he's like an actual superhero and kind of, you know, because that kind of looks like a little bit of what they're trying to, because at one point in the trailer he has a conversation with, he's like, all right, I'll let you hurt people, but you only bad people.
Yeah, so I don't know. I mean, cautiously optimistic, but, you know, I can't say that I'm not 100% looking forward to it, but I don't know.
We will see.
A film that I can say I'm absolutely looking forward to, then we got a final trailer for, is Deadpool 2, The D is Bigger.
That was one of my favorite posters at the theater. Yeah. It was the giant Deadpool cardboard cutout. It's like, The D is Bigger.
Yeah, so, I mean, yeah, this film is going to have huge. Can we say huge?
Sure.
Okay, Trump can say it, right? He's like billionaire. If I start saying huge, does that make me like the step to becoming a billionaire?
There you go. Run for president.
I don't want to be president. Dude, I'm already like freaking bald. Like, I don't have much hair left. Like, the beard is what I've got. I can't lose the beard.
You'll start getting gray in yours like mine.
I haven't seen my actual face in quite a long time. Like, it's great that I have all this hair to hide it.
Yeah.
But no, Deadpool 2, I mean, it just looks as action-packed and as, you know, funny as the first film. And, you know, it's really kind of interesting watching the theatrical trailer, the made-for-TV trailers, and the Red Band trailers. Because, you know, the theatrical and made-for-TV obviously are the languages toned down and everything. And I'm wondering, like, you know, parents, you know, like the first film, like, this was not a kid-friendly film. Yeah, that's why it's rated R. But my kid loves Deadpool. Okay.
Then go watch the cartoon.
Yeah. You know, so glad that they didn't freaking try to, you know, tone that down. And
I was worried about that with the Disney merger that they might, you know, they'd be like, no, we know how much money Deadpool made. We're not fucking with Deadpool. Let Deadpool be Deadpool.
Yeah. Wouldn't that be awesome, though? Deadpool turns on Disney and... Oh, the hilarity that would ensue. But yeah, that comes out here in about 16 days.
Yeah, and the Joker recalls Cable. He's like, easy, Thanos. It's like, I don't know if that'll make the final cut, but that joke cracked me up.
And alright, you've already let the cat out of the bag. So we're not going to talk in any, you know, great detail or give any spoilers or anything, but Infinity War...
Made all the money.
Made all the monies. Highest grossing film in
worldwide
history.
And U.S. $630 million opening weekend. You know, like I said, Star Wars Force Awakens was the previous record holder, and that wasn't even globally. That was just U.S. And it, like I said, it blew everything. And it, to put it in perspective, like the last DC freaking Justice League made like $650 million in 116 days. They did 630 in three.
Yeah. I mean, you know, we were talking a little bit off air, and you had came across a meme where it's like Rey handing over the lightsaber or something like that. And it's like,
oh, she's passing the lightsaber
passing
to the
torch.
And it was like a note from Kathleen Kennedy Lucasfilm. And it's like, you know, congratulations, which I thought was kind of cool.
But I, you know, surprisingly, like Lucasfilm, you know, I mean, even though it's kind of been disbanded, you know, and everybody has been like, you know, there hasn't been a pissing match about it, you know,
it's all Disney owned at this point. So,
but I mean, still,
whoever wins,
I mean,
Disney always wins.
You can say no to the mouse.
I had to see Mickey like in the Emperor robes and the giant like chair.
Do you think Mickey is Sith? I think Mickey's probably Sith.
Totally Sith.
And Pluto?
He's more Gungan.
I think Pluto is probably straight up Jar Jar.
Yeah.
Another film that, based on the trailers, is vastly different than what I thought we were going to get. But, you know, we're Jurassic World, Fallen Kingdom. We got our final trailer, and I thought we were getting SWAT Raptors.
I don't know, because like the first version we got looked like... We're trying to rescue the end. It's like a, you know, an environmentalist story. We're trying to rescue the dinosaurs, but turns out, oh no, this is all like an elaborate theft. We're gonna start selling the dinosaurs to the highest bidder, and get some SWAT Raptors.
Well, no, I mean, it's almost like the first film in a sense, right? You know, because here they are trying to get the DNA, and apparently they've created a super dino. Didn't we get a super dino in the last one though?
Yeah.
So now we have a.
It looked like weird
super
horror movie stuff. There's
duper
like
super dino,
you know, dinosaur sneaking in somebody's window and shit, and trying to eat kids. I mean, it looks like they've gone full horror movie now.
Yeah, it kind of reminded me of a mix between Jurassic Park 1, the original, and Jurassic Park 3, where you know the T Rexes loosen the city and such. So,
Jurassic Park, L.A.
Yeah. Don't be on the West Coast. But you can find Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom in theaters June 22nd, 2018. We talked about Jumanji, you know, back when we
Welcome
did that
to
episode.
The jungle.
You know, apparently The Rock has decided that he's tired of Robert Downey Jr. Having all the money. So, you know, he wants all the money. Dude, are we going to get Robert Downey Jr. and The Rock, like, together? And
that would be a pretty good movie.
I bet that would make all the money.
Yes.
What film would that be?
Oh, I don't even know.
Dude, we're probably coming out
it
with
it. It needs to be a weird buddy
hold
cop
on,
movie.
Hold on, hold on. No. We got to stop talking about, like, we're on a billion-dollar idea here. Like,
They're going to steal it.
Hey,
we got to write this
movie.
Hey,
Thanos, I've seen your 638. I'm about to W. I'm going to take a W for the win. It's going to be huge. I did it again. But yeah, apparently we're getting a sequel to Jumanji starting in 2019. So December, so late. So just before Christmas.
Woohoo!
A film that I'm not quite sure how this is going to work because, gosh, I really hate video game adaptations to movies. But once again, The Rock is going to be our lead role. And apparently Doom.
So he didn't do it right the first time. He's going to do it again?
Yeah.
Because he was in the original version of Doom.
So here we go. More Space Marines.
So he's going to be the main Marine now and not Carl Urban?
Yeah, I think so. Looks to be that way. I don't know.
I mean, the last one wasn't bad. But, I mean, it was watchable.
I don't know how this is going to be, though, because, you know, this is going, you know, being made by Universal's 1440 Entertainment, which means this will be a straight-to-film. Mm. So no theatric release. So I don't know. You know.
Hashtag Netflix.
Yeah. I don't know. But, I mean, this could work in favor of, you know, Netflix or Amazon, you know, the streaming services being able to get first dibs. Who knows? Up next, cute, cuddly, unless you give them water after midnight, Gremlins! I know you love reboots, so we're definitely getting a reboot.
Yay.
Of Gremlins.
It's one of those that the original was so good that they're going to screw it up. It's like...
Yeah.
It's going to be all CGI bullshit.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, did you see Disturbia or Goosebumps?
I did see Disturbia, but I've not seen Goosebumps.
So, I mean, you know, Chris Columbus and, you know, oh, shit, what's the dude's name?
The guy who discovered America?
Carl Ellsworth. You know, are basically, you know, the two that are working on this, and I
hope it doesn't suck, because I'd love the original, then yeah, that's going to be a huge disappointment if they do it badly.
Yeah, and I don't know.
They're going to go the Ghostbusters route, it's going to be all, like, you know, girl gremlins this time around, you know.
I mean, but then again, I mean, they do have to get Warner Brothers approval, which doesn't really mean shit, but they also got to get Spielberg and... Amblin Entertainment, so, I mean, they got to do some legwork, you know, and, you know, I think they're going to have something solid to bring to fruition and say, hey, we can legitimately do this without sucking.
Yeah, so hopefully, like, the people, you know, in charge will be like, you're not doing this unless you do it right. You hope there's some kind of, like, quality control on that.
And, you know, since we talked about Star Wars earlier, there is going to be a new anime-inspired series called Star Wars Resistance that will be debuting this fall on...
Disney XD.
Well, it looks like it's going to be on the Disney Channel, and then after that, you know, for U.S. and theater, and then Disney XD for the rest of the world.
Yeah, because it was... I just finished watching all of Star Wars Rebels, and that was a great series, so I'm hoping this is as good if yeah, as Rebels.
You know, so this is set to, you know, take place in a time prior to The Force Awakens. You know, so, I mean, we're going to get some familiar characters, you know, BB-8, you know,
yeah,
most
we're,
notably Poe Dameron.
Where Rebels was kind of took place in the early part of the Rebellion, this one kind of takes place in the early part of the Resistance. So it's kind of like, you know, same thing, different time periods.
But I don't know. I mean, I got to say, I've been really impressed with the animated stuff. So, I mean, bring it on. I mean, it's Star Wars, dude. Can't say no to Star Wars.
No, you always got to have good Star Wars.
And with that, you know, I'm reminded of a little tune as we approach the end of our episode here.
Before we wrap it up, one last thing. Ross Patterson's new book is now available pre-order on Amazon. We loved you know, the book and the audio version of At Night She Cries While He Rides His Steed. So go check out When Darkness Falls, He Doesn't Catch It. It's already available for pre-order on Amazon. Comes out in August, I believe.
I wonder if he's already recorded
the audio. Yeah, he's in the process of recording the audio book, and he's saying it's going to be just as wild as the first one. So I was thinking about canceling my Audible subscription. I may have to maintain it until I can get
Dude, you probably have enough credits, you know.
Well, I'm still in my free trial period, so I was considering dumping it, because I just did it to get the audio version of Ready Player One, but now that this is coming, I may have
totally to worth it, right?
Keep it for another couple months. And with that, check us out on CigarNerdPodcast.com. We're on the ESO Network at ESOPodcast.com. We sell stuff on Zazzle. We have shirts at RealMenSmokeCigars.com. Go to StrikeForceEnergy.com. Also, we're available on iTunes, Stitcher. Go leave us reviews. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, at Cigar Nerd Pod. And with that, have a good day. And it's
closing time. Open all the doors and let you out into the world. Closing time. Turn all of the lights on over every boy and every girl. Closing time, one last call for alcohol, so finish your whiskey or beer. Closing time, you don't have to go home, but you can't stay here.
And this has been a recording of the Cigar Nerd Podcast with your hosts, Smokin' Joe and Brad Jackson. Join us next time for more adventures in nerddom.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping through Amazon.com or the TeePublic store, which can all be found at www.esonetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.